Blog Talk Radio.
And will I wonder why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. Michael and I will share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We offer tools and support 5 days a week. We will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information about Michael, or myself, or forgiveness, please visit www.whyagain.org. And now, your co-hosts, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio. We're honored that you're here to be with us today. We are on the road, and so Dr. Tim is going to be doing the switchboard, and maybe he's having some difficulty getting on. I'm not sure at the moment. But anyway,
we are here.
Hey, sir. I'll leave it to you to open then.
That was Dr. Michael Rice. This is Tim Hayes. I'm here just to run the switchboard and lend support. Today is Tuesday, November 22nd, 2016. Michael and Jeannie are driving, so hopefully in the reverse, Jeannie's driving and Michael's going to be talking. And we're here to introduce and teach and support people in using the ancient Aramaic tool of forgiveness. And we encourage people to call in. The call-in number is currently 516-418-5786. 516-418-5786. Press 1. That'll let us know you want to talk, and we'll introduce you when the time is right through your area code. Welcome, Michael. Who might be mute?
Thank you, sir. Down. My phone was a little slow in giving me a screen to undo my mute button. So, thank you for being available once again on such short notice to pick up the slack. We've been in route since last night. We got the house all closed up and the water shut down and all that neat stuff and drove to Branson, and so we're heading now to St. Clair, Missouri, where we'll spend a couple days and do Thanksgiving with my son, and my former wife is going to join Jeannie and I, along with Michael J. and my daughter and granddaughter, so we're going to have a nice joining gathering. So. And then Friday morning, bright and early, like we need to leave for the airport about 5 o'clock, we'll be on a plane to Tampa, Florida. Get a couple of days with some friends in St. Pete and then do a week of workshops at Unity of the Villages or in Fruitland Park. Just think about that for a minute. Fruitland Park, Florida. So if anybody's in that area, December 4th, for a week, we'll be doing the Sunday morning service. Sunday afternoon, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday night workshops, all free open workshops. Saturday, as usual, is Mind Shifters and Still Point Breathing, an all-day, very intensively oriented process workshop. So that one workshop there is a fee for, and we invite everybody to come join us for the week. We'd be delighted to have you with us. And I want to talk today about the healing process once again, and understanding on another level this whole idea of energy, and that, you know, when we listen to Einstein, he says, on such things as matter, we have been all wrong. What we have heretofore called matter is energy, energy whose vibrations have been so lowered as to be perceptible to the senses. There is no matter. And if we listen to Max Planck, as he's receiving the Nobel Prize in Physics, he tells it a little differently. He says, as a man who spent his entire life studying matter, I can tell you this much. There is no matter as such. Our entire world is made up of succeedingly smaller patterns of vibratory fields, nested one within another, within another. So when we look at the disease process, what we're looking at is in Max Planck's terms, a nested frequency. And when you recognize that everything that you hold within you came from somewhere, and everything that expresses on a cellular level as what we call disease came from somewhere. The cell has no existence and no life of its own on its own. It is a reflection. It is an expression. Very much like you watch a television set, which gives an expression to a film. But there's no film in there. There are no actors in there. There's no life in there. If I'm watching Channel 2 and I'm watching a basketball game, then I'm seeing players going back and down the court. They look like they're really there. They look like they've got a basketball. It looks like there's a hardwood floor. It looks like there are 100,000 fans in the audience when the camera scans. But the fact is, all that's going on the television set is there's a nested frequency that is organizing electrons to look like fans, a basketball, basketball players, and a hardwood floor. None of those are in there. All they are is an effect or a reflection or an expression. There is something back of and superior to it. Now, if somebody drives in my driveway with a poorly tuned car and I'm using an antenna to pick up channel 2, then there's going to be a frequency nest itself in the antenna, and that frequency is going to create an interference that I could call a disease on the screen and in the sound. And I could say, this television is really diseased. Look at all that snow, and look at those wavy lines, and look at all that pictures flipping around, and listen to all that terrible noise. That's a big disease in the television set. Let me go in and change a transistor, or we could go back a few years, a tube. Let me go in and change a capacitor. Let me go in and change a part. Then the TV will be fixed. The TV is not going to be fixed, folks, until I find a way to remove the interfering energy. Now, in the world, there is a thing called treatment, where if your TV set, the cell, is expressing what looks like a disease, we can try to manipulate it on the level of the cell to make it look healthy. But if back of and superior to the organized reflection of the cell is a disease energy, then you can manipulate the cell all you want. In fact, you can horribly assault it with things that will cause what are called side effects. And you might be able to get the cell to function a little differently and make it look like things are better. But the energy that you use to nest in the cell to try to manipulate it on the level of effect is always going to create more disorder within the structure, because that's just the way the system works. So where do we go clue about what's behind, what's back of, and what's superior to the cell? Well, you know, we hear all kinds of people talking in today's modern so-called intelligent society, who will tell us that, you know, we understand so much that we know how to fix everything. And what we don't know how to fix, if you'll just give us more millions, we'll learn how to fix it. And my offering is, it's just not the truth. And you hear the same people talking about sources of ancient wisdom that are light years ahead of them, but that have been twisted and disappeared because understanding the way the system works and repairing it at the cause level can only happen in the mind of the person who owns the cell. Now, you're not going to find that anywhere, or at least it's going to be tough to find in the world of medicine today. You'll find some clues to it in the world of physics, but still no definitive answer, at least as far as I know. If you go back to the ancient Aramaic language, 2,000 years ago, and many people poo-poo this wisdom, but the genius that's there is unbelievable. when you see it in its original form. Not so much green, so much, pardon me, genius in the Greek translations of those words. When you go back to the Aramaic, it's amazing. And when you look at the opening words of a book called John, we're told that it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us." But if you go to the Aramaic language, it doesn't say that. What it says is, "In the beginning was the mind energy," or another proper translation for that word is willed action. "And the mind energy," or the willed action, "became flesh." Now, let's put three things together. Max Planck says nested frequencies. I bring a poorly tuned car into the parking lot, a frequency nests into the antenna and disturbs the reflection or the picture on the television screen. I bring a frequency into the cell through that which controls it, the mind, and I create a distortion in the cell. Because the distortion reflects to my eye as something physical, I want to try to deal with it on a physical level, and I really do believe that it's physical. Now, the physical is what in the ancient Aramaic was called an appearance, and you'll remember this genius 2,000 years ago said, "Do not judge by appearances." Because if you judge by appearances, here's what will happen. You will base your mind energy or your thoughts on the appearance, and now you'll be stuck in a loop. Because the appearance contains a certain frequency, your mind looks at it, takes on that frequency, and creates more of the appearance. Looks at the appearance, takes on more of the appearance, frequency now organizes more of the appearance. Looks at the appearance, more mind energy about the appearance, and now we're stuck in a loop. You've got to break the loop. There was a genius 2,000 years ago that showed precisely exactly how to break the loop. The tool was called forgiveness. It had nothing to do with letting other people off the hook for what was going on inside of them. It was about removing nested frequencies. Nothing to do with, "I'm going to let you off the hook because I'm feeling the effects of this nested frequency." Now, when you put a nested frequency that doesn't belong in a cell, you put into the cell, you've nested a frequency that is off the mark for the cell. If you nest a frequency that's off the mark for the cell, then the cell is going to be diseased or disordered, and it's going to look somehow so-called physically distorted. To the eye, it's going to look physically distorted. But just like the television set, if the picture is distorted, to the eye it looks like there's something wrong with the television. But there's nothing wrong with the television, there's just an interfering frequency that's been put into the cell. In the ancient Aramaic, the word that described a nested frequency that didn't belong in the cell was called sin. Sin in Aramaic is an archery term. And when I'm on the archery range and I fire at the target and I miss the bullseye, the scorekeeper would yell, "Sin, you're off the mark." It was originally meant to be positive feedback, as in, "Take another shot." It had nothing to do, again, with letting somebody else off the hook. It had nothing to do with, "You're evil, you're nasty, you're bad." All it is a frequency that's off the mark that you now have the opportunity to remove should you understand the process of forgiveness. Now, I don't care how you cut it, unless you learn to remove the nested frequency, there is not going to be healing on a cellular level. Unless you learn to face and remove your sin, the energies that are off the mark, there's not going to be healing. Now, what are these energies that are off the mark? Well, I think a fairly safe bet is, and through practice, I've observed that this is very effective and works well. You don't need to believe me. Try it out and see what happens. But if you hold a newborn child, and we've asked tens of thousands of people all over the globe, "Have you ever held a newborn? Describe the essence of the newborn," and everybody's word, I don't care what culture we ask this question in, is some variation on the theme of love. Why? My offering is because that's human life, that's what we are created of, and our cells are designed to be powered by and express only frequencies based in love. So that means that everything based in hate, fear, rage, guilt, gossip, slander, condemnation, vengeance, abuse is all off the mark, energies that don't belong. Now, if you take a look at our culture, how deeply have we been steeped in energies that are off the mark? Well, just take a look at the political process that's happened in the last year and tell me how much energy's been on the mark and how much energy's been off the mark. And it doesn't matter what side you're on. It's all irrelevant because the whole thing is one huge sin. It's one huge off-the-mark energy play. And it hypnotizes and gathers millions of people who are willing to rage at their best friends because there is rage in them, and someone found a way to divide them over an issue called politics. But all we're talking about are energies that don't belong. And so you take a look at the way the world operates, and we're at the point right now, like for instance, Jeannie, when she was doing her psych degree, she did some research and did a paper that was based in some research done by Columbia University. And Columbia, having spent quite a bit of time and money discerning how many people had been murdered on planet Earth in war, came up with a figure of 175 million people in the last 75 years. Now, in 75 years, what's that, 2.5, 3 generations, depending how you measure generations? How many people do you suppose, just in that one fact, how many people do you suppose engaged in some sort of mind energy of pain, of drama, of hate, of rage, of loss, of guilt, and fear? And each energy engaged in, I would offer, this body-mind unit is a device that stores holographically every frequency that comes into it. And so if we have 3 generations behind us where virtually every one of us has been impacted by this fact of war, family members, friends, neighbors, just the news and hearing about these atrocities. And that's just that one factor. We're not talking now about individual suffering of parents, children who've had diseases. We're not bringing in here conflict in relationships, divorces. We're not bringing in the pain of separation of parent from child or child from parent through some sort of conflicting energy. We're not talking about any of that. We're just talking about one simple factor in our culture. And if we start including everything, then you get some sense of how many frequencies have been floating around available to be nested within the human structure in the last 3 generations. Recognizing that, and then we listen to the Aramaic where they understood this whole process, and you hear Yeshua saying, the sins of the fathers, that is the energies that are off the mark of the fathers, and of course he's not being sexist, it's fathers and mothers, any energy that's off the mark is stored holographically in every cell of the structure of every person in the bloodline. And those nested frequencies are generation by generation by generation. Now, very much these nested frequencies of hostility and fear are very much like a virus. There was virus removal software delivered to planet Earth, to humanity, 2,000 years ago. It was called forgiveness. It is a tool of removal of what doesn't belong. And the virus removal software for the human system was disappeared shortly after it was delivered 2,000 years ago. Recognizing that, then we look at when was the last time in our generations where someone who experienced war, loss, attack, separation of family members, loss of a family member, loss of a neighbor or a friend, when was the last time somebody in your bloodline or mine had the tools with which to really deal with and process through those things? And if not, then generation by generation by generation, those viruses have multiplied. You know, if I've got a hard drive and there's a virus on it, I can't say, well, you know, I'm just going to make a new hard drive off of that one. I'm just going to copy all my data over to a new hard drive, and then there won't be any viruses in it. If I copy over the hard drive, there's going to be a copy of that virus. If I put that hard drive online, that virus is going to make that hard drive vulnerable to other viruses, and they're going to tend to accumulate and multiply. Very much like the person who has a power person in their lives, let's say a parent who spends a lot of time in rage, you'll see them years later in a family system where yesterday they got married and they spoke about how wondrous and wonderful their lives together was going to be and how wonderful their vows were. And the next time the stress was up and the chips are down, you watched either one of the spouses or both turn to the rage of their generations, of their fathers and mothers, and take it out on their partners. And the beat goes on, generation by generation. How many times have you watched the parents excitedly anticipating the birth of a newborn, and 2 years later you heard about the charges of physical abuse toward the child? How crazy does it get? And so if we're going to actually heal, the work of doing that, and that's why a lot of people would rather just drug themselves and say, forget it, I don't want to deal with this, I don't want to feel this, I don't want to look at this, and I certainly don't want to get it all over me as I forgive it. Well, certainly everybody has a choice. I love what Jonas Salk said as a scientist. He said, one of the best things you can be is a good ancestor. If you choose to be a good ancestor, then you will confront what perhaps no one in your bloodline has had the skill nor the ability to do, and start to remove the generational scars. Removing the generational scars means you open the wounds of the past and you allow those energetic dynamics to unfold and be removed from you. You will tend to feel the effects of those energies, and especially if you are in resistance to the movement of those energies, if you fight against it, if you struggle against it, if you push it away, whatever moves in us that we do not want to feel or deal with, whatever we go into resistance against, we will physicalize. So that would be the equivalent of our television example of the interfering pattern comes in from the car that's poorly tuned and creates all this snow and static, and the snow and static is stored in the tubes of the television. Whenever you turn the television on, there's no static in the environment. There will still be the expression of the static because it's now locked in the cell. Generations and generations and generations of it. Now, when you recognize that, you know, when they talk about 3 to 4 generations that these things are going to be passed on, if you go back 4 generations, that means that you have every thought, every feeling, every reality, every sin or energy that's off the mark of 31 lives, your own and 30 others in your 4 generations. If you do the math, you'll see that in just 30 generations, there are in excess of 1.7 billion people in your bloodline. We are inviting you to do the work of beginning to open up Pandora's box and moving through and out of you the generational patterns that you came into the world carrying in your genes, as well as what was reinforced and expressed in your environment, in your physiology, in your own mind, and the belief systems and the thoughts that you bought into that do not belong in a human system. Remember again, a human system is a system that is based in and designed to work from love. There is some work to do. And it's going to be a challenge to be probably the first one in your bloodline to choose to develop the skill of reaching into and decoding the content of every nook and cranny of your mind, your emotions, and your genes. 1.7 billion people in just 30 generations. What do you suppose is the accumulated unresolved pain of 1.7 billion people? Have you ever wondered why, when something happens in your life, something simple, you end up going into a fit of rage, or into depression, or into sadness, grief? Why does that happen? Because there are energetic interfering patterns. The grief, depression is no different than static from a car in the parking lot coming in through the antenna of the TV. You can't fix depression on the level of manipulating cellular chemistry. You can make it so that the cell will not feel. I was talking to someone recently that had an injury, and they were given some pretty strong opiates to suppress the pain, and they went through a couple of weeks of taking those opiates, and then when they came off the opiates, all of a sudden, all the pain, all the emotions, all the trauma that had been suppressed for 2 weeks started to move. You can't get the level of the cell and get rid of it. You can and stop the cell from
Michael, you're breaking up. Are you still there? Okay, I've lost Michael. Well, hopefully they're driving and they're just going and switching cells. And he will call back in just a moment. In the meantime, we have a couple hands up. I see you. Thanks for calling in. And I know that Michael's in the middle of a conversation, so I won't open up a line just yet. I'll wait. I'm sure he will be back with us in just a moment. And he's talking about the difficulty in trying to clear out the energy that I experience in my energy system and how complex it can be because I've inherited it from both sides of my bloodline, 3 and 4 generations into the past. And, of course, where did the fourth generation back get theirs? From 3 and 4th generations back. So it's an infinite line. As they talk about, energy can neither be created nor destroyed. It simply changes form. So, all right. So let me just go to our caller. Our first caller was 830. You've been waiting quite a ways. Give us a name and where you're calling from, 830.
Hello. It's Justin from Texas.
Hi, Justin. How can we support you today?
Well, I was curious about reading on my health.
Well, Justin, that's not what this show does. So this show is about the ancient Aramaic tool of forgiveness, as Dr. Rice was talking about in the intro. And there are some other shows that I think are on Earth Angels Radio, but they aren't on Mind Shifters Radio, and they used to do that kind of thing. So if you look in on Blog Talk for Earth Angels Radio, you could probably find Carol Guy and some of the other hosts that she has on, and they do those kinds of readings. But what we offer is a tool to dismantle any negative energy from the mind-body energy system. It's called forgiveness, but it's not like pardoning someone. It's an actual process you can download free from the internet website at whyagain.org. whyagain.org. And that's what this show is about, and we're encouraging people to go there. It's a free download. It's a free set of probably 16 different hours of audio files of shows like this where people have called in and been stepped through that process. And it's a set of instructions, at least 16 hours worth, to help people understand how this process works and how you can use it to make your life better.
Okay. Well, thank you. And what was the website again?
It's whyagain.org. And that website, if you click on the link that says Start Here in the upper left-hand corner, it'll take you to a page where you can download for free Chapter 24 of Dr. Rice's book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again?
Okay.
The most recent version of the 7-step worksheet process, and all of those audio shows that I just mentioned that are live examples of people like you calling in who said, I have this problem with anger, I have this problem with money, I have this problem with my physical health, and we stepped them through the worksheet process, and so it's like a set of instructions that you can download and listen to from the archives.
Okay. Well, thank you for your help.
Well, you're welcome, and feel free, once you tap into that forgiveness work and that reality management wake-up sheet process, to call back and ask questions or give us a testimonial.
All right. I sure will.
All right. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
So is
Dr.
Rice
Tim,
back?
I'm back. We went through a place in the boonies here where my signal just totally dropped and disappeared, so my apology. So I think we were talking about the generational impact and the level of skill that one needs to develop, and I was just starting to say that if you choose to do this, it is going to take a skill level deeper than any professional you've ever seen. You know, you can go to school for 8 years and you can learn most every profession on the block, and then you can take that profession and you can start to practice it, and then you will learn what it's really about. But I don't care whether it's, you know, aeronautics, physics, medicine, psychology, theology, you will have the equivalent of a quadruple PhD when you really do the work that it takes to comprehend these tools and to tap into the depths of your own energy system and remove, face, deal with 1,000 generations of the insanity that never should have been nested into a human structure. I mean, we literally, if we're functioning truly as humans, should be incapable of fear, incapable of rage, incapable of pain. Pain is only a signal that comes from nesting a frequency that doesn't belong, and the cell gives you a warning signal that there's something going on in you that doesn't belong. And you'll notice how, by distorted thinking, we've destroyed that feedback mechanism that tells us how to experience and deal with what's going on inside of us. We've been taught to play the game of denial. We've been taught that when something's going on inside of me, I can hide it from myself. Of course, they didn't tell us that's what we're doing, by making up a story that it's somebody else's fault that I'm feeling this. And when I realized that it's not somebody else's fault that I'm feeling this, that in fact this person who showed up that resonated this which was already in my physiology has actually given me the gift of the opportunity to work through what never belonged in my structure, then I have the opportunity to literally begin the true healing process. I offer that with all the treatments that the world offers. You'll notice that we call it a healthcare system, but you'll notice that it's all about disease. There is little to no actual healthcare in the culture because there's no money in teaching people the cause of health. There's only money in teaching people the cause of disease, which means getting people's minds to engage in and nest frequencies based in sin, in error, in energies that are off the mark. If you teach people to do that, and it's interesting, if you do some research, there's a thing called the second-year syndrome. The second-year syndrome says that by the second year of studying a particular form of aberrant psychology or physiology, the people who are studying it will begin to develop those diseases. There's a reason, because an intense nesting of those frequencies will produce that process whereby the energy comes into so-called physical expression. It reflects and affects literally the structure by affecting what we call the chemistry of the cell. Now, the chemistry of the cell is an illusion. It's actually what we call chemistry. It's actually a state of energy that is governing the cell. It's interesting that, you know, let's come 2,000 years forward from Yeshua's thought that mind energy becomes flesh, and listen to the cell biologists that tell us that when you think a thought, that thought produces a neuropeptide, a molecule, a literal molecule. So here we have something which we call non-physical becoming physical, becomes a traceable structure in your form. And it's called a neuropeptide, and that neuropeptide circulates around in your cell until it finds a receptor site that matches, that is somewhere that has a resonant frequency in the cell to whatever that piece of mind energy is, and the neuropeptide then lands on the cell and inserts itself in the cell and shows up in the cell as chemistry. Now, what forgiveness does is it gives you access to those nested frequencies and gives you the opportunity to remove those nested frequencies. If you know, if you look back through your bloodline, if you look at dad and mom's rage and pain and trauma and drama and all the power person stuff they did, and then you turn around, you watch yourself doing it to your kids or to your spouse or to yourself, and you go, you know, this is getting old. I need to change this. I need to do something. Then embark on doing your work, and as you do, and, you know, we're at the point now where there are over 1,500 shows in our archives. I mean, you've got the equivalent of a PhD if you go listen to those shows and do the work that we're suggesting doing. You get finished the work that's suggested in each of those 1,500 shows, that's 1,500 hours of archives that are free and open to you, and you will have the equivalent of a triple PhD when you finish that work, I promise you. And when you understand how this structure works and you utilize the tools, and it's like any other skill, you know, I guarantee you that if you took the top five golfers in the world at right this minute, just a couple days before a big holiday, I guarantee you that four out of five of those golfers are on the golf course today hitting golf balls. And you say, but they won the open here and the close there and the this here and the sports thing here and the that there. Why the heck would they be out on the golf course today when they should be sitting home enjoying the day, getting ready for a big party on Thursday? Because they're experts at what they do. And you know how experts become experts at what they do? They do it every day. Every day. Every day. Every day. If you want to become an expert at healing your bloodline, at healing your physiology, your emotions, your relationships, your finances, or I should say the way you reflect in your relationships, because there are no diseased relationships, then pick up the tools, and we're here to coach you, support you, and mentor you. We're here to support you in every way possible in understanding these tools and applying them in your life. Now, sometimes application is going to be tough. I mean, tough as hell. I could sit and tell you horror stories of some of the things that I've processed through in my own personal process in learning these skills and these tools. And accessing and pulling out and realizing, the reason why I'm doing this particular presentation today is that I had a conversation with someone yesterday who's dealing with some pretty deep physical, or at least so-called physical disease issues. And I was just inspired to ruminate on my own process. You know, when I came into the world, they told my parents that I wasn't going to make it through the night, the first night. And three or four times in the first year, I was almost dead. The next 25 years, I got to engage in the disease process of inhalers and drugs. And I came to the point where I realized that that wasn't doing anything for me. It kept me alive, no question, saved my life. Thank you, thank you, thank you. But if only I'd been handed healing tools at the same time as the crisis of saving my life had been done, I'd have been light years ahead today of where I am. And I recognize that I still, on a daily basis, must continue to do my work. Again, we're not just talking about you mastering your life, your time around, your dramas, your traumas, what's happened to you here. We're talking about mastery over 1,000 generations. It's not child's play. Following this man, Yeshua, who says, in order to be a human, you've got to live as the presence of love. He's not some old fogey in the desert who didn't know what he was talking about. He's talking precise in terms of physics and physiology, psychology and genetics, precisely giving answers on how to do that in the most amazing way. If you haven't accessed those tools yet, go to our website, www.whyagain.org. On the right-hand side, you'll see at the bottom of the social media links a link to our YouTube page. Click it. Go and start out and look at the video. There's an icon with a picture of the blue planet from space, or a shot from space. The title of that particular presentation is a 39-minute video called What is the World? What is Forgiveness? I suggest you watch that. Then, once you've completed that, there's one that has a cover of my book as the icon, the blue book with red lettering on it, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? And the title on that one is PowerPoint. Watch the PowerPoint. If you watch those two videos, you will know more about healing than 99% of the people in the country that have advanced degrees in so-called healing, which is mostly the treatment of disease. You will understand more about healing. You will understand more about what causes disease. And my offering is what you want to do is turn your face to the study of what causes health. Because if you turn your face to the study of disease, you will be integrating disease frequencies one on top of the other, nesting, disease upon disease upon disease. That second-year syndrome is no joke. A statistically significant number of specialists die of their specialty, and they die young and they die early. It's time to wake up and begin to work. And once you realize that your whole future, your life, your bloodline depends on it, what else is there to do? Whatever work it takes, so what? The gifts and the rewards are monumental. And so we're here to support you, join with you in understanding it, and to learn with you how these tools work, how to apply them, and how to really, truly learn to look into the content of every cell, of every part of your genetic structure, of every part of your mind, and remove what never belonged. So we're honored to be here and have that opportunity to share this technology with you. And Dr. Tim, I'm not sure what you shared when I got knocked off the show, but any thoughts for us before we check on the phone lines?
Well, you've talked about powerful stuff. It had a few people. There was somebody who raised their hand before you ever started your intro, and they called in, and when your call dropped, we redirected them. They were looking for a reading on their health. So we gave them Carol Guy's info and told them about how to get access to the Why Again Reality Management Worksheet, and they listened for a while after that, and they're gone. We've had a couple of the people with their hands up, and they've all disappeared, and now somebody just popped up with a hand up. So are you ready to take that?
Fabulous. Let's go for it.
All right. Area code 910, you're in the air.
Hey, this is Jill from Wilmington.
Hello, Jill.
Hi.
Welcome.
Hi. I'm calling with a couple of comments. And maybe just get some feedback from you. I was doing a wake-up sheet this morning, and a couple of things occurred to me that were interesting. The situation was I texted someone with the intention for them to not respond, but when they didn't respond, I was angry. And so I noticed that I thought my goal was to prevent continued conversation, but it turned out there was another goal underneath that, which is to be acknowledged. So I thought that was confusing and interesting. And then the second realization I had on this wake-up sheet was at the end where it asks, when have I not fulfilled this goal to acknowledge someone? I noticed that I do that to my child when he's talking, and I decide that what he's saying, I don't have time, it's not important right now, and I just kind of give him the brush off, which is that exactly what I felt like this person who didn't text back to me was doing to me. So I notice that I am perpetrating the behavior onto other people that I attribute to people perpetrating on me. So those were my two.
Good catch.
Uh-huh.
Good catch. That's awesome. You know, if you go back into, I believe it's Corinthians 1, it says, beware you who judge another, for that in which you judge another, you've been guilty of practicing. Everything that we point a finger at somebody else for, we are able to recognize that behavior, or we project that behavior because that content is inside of us, and it's always the feedback loop to give us feedback to the part of us that needs healing, the nested frequency in ourselves.
So would there be a worksheet that I can do on that particular, like brushing off my child, or, you know, where do I go next with that, I guess, is maybe
Absolutely.
A question.
So when you discovered that you were blowing off your child just like someone else that you perceived had done to you,
mm-hmm.
When the fact that all they did is didn't return your text, but when you set up that perceptual construct, what did you feel when you realized that you were doing that to your child?
Guilty and ashamed.
Okay, so I suggest doing a worksheet where the feeling is guilt, and I suggest doing a worksheet where the feeling is shame. And you make the object of attention, number one, see yourself. And the situation is I blew my child off. I
mm-hmm.
didn't give them the attention they deserved. And then in that situation, what would your goal have been? Let's take the guilt. So there's guilt about what happened with your child, or at least your mind's telling you that it's about what happened with your child. What would the thought behind that be?
Behind the guilt is that I'm not a good mom.
Okay. So then your goal in that situation would be what?
To always give him my full attention.
Yes. To be an awesome mom.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you look in your mom file and you look at the potential that perhaps mom was your power person, have you been acquainted with the idea of the power person as yet?
Yes.
Okay. So if you look at mom as a potential power person, are there any times where you judge your mom as not being a good mom?
Plenty.
So then I'd start making a list. You know, when I do a worksheet, I've always got a dozen blanks. And when I touch into something, I always start the next worksheet with whatever part of the worksheet I'm in touch with. So I'd be making the notes to do a worksheet on mom. And, you know, the situation is mom wasn't a good mom because, and I felt, and look at what your goal was for mom. And your goal for mom
mm-hmm.
was probably to be there for you, to acknowledge you, to take care of you, to value you, to cherish you. Each one of those would be a different worksheet, a different goal to cancel. Your mom to be there
okay.
for you. And so each of
mm-hmm.
those would be a separate, you know, full worksheet. And you'll start cleaning out all those files in your mom file that when you're under stress, you know, here's what we know about the power person. Is that any time in the future, if there's an unresolved power person dynamic under the surface, then that unreserved power dynamic, when stressed, will tend to come to the surface and tend to guide my behavior. So that's
mm-hmm.
when I'm under such stress that I've got so much going on in my mind, you know, I've got a 9-bit mind and there's only 2 bits available for my child and they just don't get the attention they deserve. and I play out what my and forgive and remove.
So, Michael,
does that make sense? Yes, sir.
We lost you after you play out.
Okay, am I back? Not sure what happened.
Yeah,
you're back.
We dropped off after you play out.
So when you play out that power person dynamic, there's your next worksheet around mom and around yourself, and yourself being a mom, until you are able to work through all of the dynamics that went on with you as a child with mom and that are now reflecting with your child.
Okay.
So I think we just uncovered, and I might suggest if you weren't making notes on all of that, that you go back and listen again, because I think we just listed out about 20 worksheets that would be really useful
yeah,
and appropriate.
I think so too.
Yeah, I did make
notes, but I will come back and listen because I probably missed 18 of those worksheets. So.
Yeah, well, we call it the Hydra effect. Once you start opening the veil, you know, in the ancient teachings, they said the veil of the temple must be rent in twain. They were not talking about a purple curtain in the church. They were talking about the barrier between the subconscious and the unconscious mind that needs to be opened so that the content can be removed. And this is what forgiveness does, is it opens that veil and gives you the opportunity to remove. You know, they said, you must forgive from your heart the wrongs of your brother. You know, I'm in stress and frustration. I look at my child and think, oh, what's wrong with them? They're just bugging me. I've now created a construct out of my content about my child. And Yeshua would say, so you must remove from your unconscious. You've got to access the nested frequency in you that you just put into your brain's image of your child that has you be able to justify a behavior that really isn't appropriate with your child. And, you know, there's an old song, that I don't even remember when it was originally recorded and put out there, but think about the melody line. How long has this been going on?
For a long time.
Too long. And how long do you suppose it's been since someone in your bloodline addressed it, dealt with it, and forgave it?
Nobody I've ever met in, you know, from my grandparents to me has done this, that's for sure. Beyond them, I don't know. But
well, you can probably bet that it's been 10. So I congratulate you on being the first one to build the brain cells and have the wherewithal to go, I'm going to face this. I'm going to clean this up in me. And I'm going to create responsibility communication with my child and own what I've done and model to my child that moms aren't perfect and moms make mistakes and mom's back here as the presence of love with an apology and a commitment for what she's going to do in the future. And then, of course, be prepared because your child's going to hold you accountable for that commitment, which will probably give you the next level of opportunity to learn forgiveness.
Very true. Yes, he is my best teacher these days. Thank you. I appreciate your input.
Delighted.
And I'm curious about the goal underneath the goal, too. I don't know if that's a thing that happens where I thought, you know, initially I thought that my goal was to discourage the communication, and it turns out really I wanted to be acknowledged. Is that a
yes?
Is that a thing?
That's exactly it, yes. You know, when they said to Yeshua, well, you know, in order to get to the root of these things, well, what is it that, how many of these things, these worksheets, do we have to do anyways? And the question was, I think it was Peter that asked, is 7 of them enough? And in Aramaic, Yeshua said, now the Greeks tell us he said 7 times 70, but my understanding is that in Aramaic he said 77 times 70. Now, you can bet that a bunch of fishermen weren't standing around going, let's see, 7 times 49 carries 4, how many worksheets? He wasn't talking about literal, he's saying, that you're going to continue to work around that issue. I mean, I could just about guarantee that we could go back a generation, 2, 3, 10, 20, 50, 100, which is billions of people in each of our bloodlines, where, I mean, who had a clue that they could go, that there was such a thing as genes? They could go inside the genes and remove what didn't belong. And if they had a clue who was possible, who had the technology? Obviously, somebody did, because Yeshua came up with it 2,000 years ago, most brilliantly came up with it. do it? Where do we find records of it even? I mean, until we uncovered it the last 25 years from the Aramaic, as far as I know, I can't find any idea on the planet of this technology and this learning that it is goals that drive perception that reflect deeper content, and the canceling of the goals allows you to drop into the deeper content, perhaps 10 generations old, and remove it. I mean, I can't find any record of that anywhere on the planet, 50 years of study that I've done. So, you know, has there been anybody in the last 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 5,000 years in any of our bloodlines? How long has this been accumulating within us? So there are going to be many tentacles, many places it reaches out to. You know, there'll be cases where it might reach out to, you know, gee, there was competition between the child and the spouse. And, you know, the spouse was in such anger and upset about not getting enough attention because the child had taken over mom's attention that he was threatening to leave. And so, you know, that worksheet's going to go off into, you know, perhaps the great-great-great-great-grandfather of great-great-grandfather leaving and committing suicide. I mean, who knows?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of dynamics one's going to drop into, become aware of, and this is what we're talking about in developing the skill to decode these subtle energies that we have for thousands of years been taught not to pay attention to, not to deal with, not to look at. In fact, the Greeks and, you know, the basic philosophy of our culture, they call it Christian, but that's not true. It's Greek. Greek thought has been put into Yeshua's mouth. The basic content was, don't ever open Pandora's box. You don't know what you're going to find in there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's true. You don't know what you're going to find in there, but what the Greeks didn't know and didn't tell us is that if you never open Pandora's box, then you're going to get to live with Pandora's box because the content is going to spill out all over your life. And that's why Yeshua says you must forgive from your Pandora's box, your heart, or your unconscious, that which you put into your brain's image of another. I mean, it's a it's a subtle understanding and yet monumental in its impact.
Yes. It is subtle, and I know that I would never have gotten past just my feelings of being mad or offended if I had not, first of all, noticed that, and then secondly, done the wake-up sheet and walked my way through. And it was pretty interesting to notice those things.
Powerful.
Pretty sneaky.
Yeah, it is. Oh, you know, if you look at every culture, all the indigenous cultures, they all had a trickster. It was the wily coyote or Satan or, you know, whatever, that which could trick and mislead us. And it is the undoing of the wily coyote, the mind that lies to us, that the work of Yeshua does. And, you know, we call it, there's an idea we did borrow from the Greeks there, where they talked about what was called the Hydra effect. And if you remember, the Hydra was the character in Greek mythology that when you cut her head off, it does another head appear. And that's exactly what happens as we do our work, is you get to deeper and deeper layers and get to touch into all the tentacles that reach out and touch every aspect of life. And you literally call forward those energetic dynamics that are stored in you from the generations. You learn to decode them, understand them, and process them out. You get free of it. Everybody in the bloodline since it originally happened gets free of it, and the future generations don't have to deal with it. It's a pretty awesome thing.
It is. Thank you so much for sharing this with us, and thanks for your help today.
Absolutely delightful. Thank you for the question. It's helpful to have it to bounce off of and share the principles. So have a blessed day and a wonderful, happy, holy day. May Thanksgiving be wondrous for everybody. And create the best year yet of your eternal life. It's an awesome gift to give the world. Blessings. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and myself, Jeannie Rice, as we present the Aramaic Internal Process of Forgiveness. We are here every Monday through Friday from 1 to 2 o'clock Eastern Time.